And if you have your Bibles, I want you to please turn to John chapter 10 and Psalms 105. I always encourage you, I always put the scriptures up on the big screen, but I always encourage you to bring your Bible so you know, some of you may be on your phone. That's okay. I still like to carry the black book around. But turn to John chapter 10 is the main scripture text that we're going to look at today, and then we're going to finish up in Psalms 105. And you can see there on the back of your bulletin, you can take notes there, and you can see the title of the message, that closed doors are a blessing. We've been in this series for three Sundays here, the past three Sundays, about the year of the open door, take a step of faith. And we've been declaring that this year of 2018 is going to be the year of the open door. In the last two messages, if you haven't been here, I encourage you to go online. You can go to hfchurch.com and listen to them. But I was basically talking about, there was kind of a part one and a part two, about to go through the door that God has for us, we have to have a relationship with the Father, with God, have a relationship with our Father God, and to know what doors are opening and what doors are closing in our lives. You have to have that relationship with Him. It's not about religion. Everybody got that? It's about relationship. It's not about the label that you have over your life. You know, we all have these labels in Christianity. It's about a relationship. Look at somebody and say, I'm a Christian. And that just means you have a relationship with Christ. Okay, but I want to start off, because this is kind of one of those, you know, Dusty texted me last night and was saying, okay, I thought this was the year of the open door and you're going to be talking about closed doors today. Well, closed doors, you might want to write this down. You can post this and tweet it. Closed doors lead to open doors. Closed doors always lead to an open door. May not be immediately, but closed doors always lead to an open door for you. And I want to start off with something that I found that was really, it inspired me. And it says, when is a door truly closed? Sometimes we're too quick to think God is saying no. Sometimes just because a door is closed, it doesn't mean that God is saying no. It just, you know, there may be some other factors that need to fall in place. And I found this story very inspiring. It says, I'll never forget a story that made the national news several years ago. CNN announced as a headline item that a man had passed his bar exam. Of course, passing the bar doesn't normally attract the attention of the national media, yet this man's case was unusual, for he had failed the test 47 previous times. Now at age 60, this tenacious soul had finally passed on his 48th try. And I love this, it even gets better. The reporter also mentioned that this man had announced his intentions for the future, that he would embark on a 20-year career as an attorney, and as proof of his earnestness, he had purchased a briefcase. I thought that was pretty good. So I must confess I have a soft spot in my heart for this man. As eccentric as his case may be, I always find examples like his inspiring, for they bring to mind how some of us by nature are late bloomers, and that it's okay to be so. We run on different clocks. God has different timetables for each of us. And while one person realizes a significant accomplishment early in life, another does so much later. And I want to remind you about Moses. He didn't come into his own until he was 80. So, you know, don't be sitting here today, well, I don't need this message because I'm older. I don't need this message because I'm too young. You're never too young or too old to do what God's called you to do. And everybody said, amen. All right, is everybody in John chapter 10? Okay, I'm going to put them up here on the big screen as well. And I'm going to go ahead and read this. Most assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, now listen to this, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Everybody say, I am the door. Now say, Jesus is the door. Okay. Then, in verse 8, it says, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I want to tell you something. Jesus, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and by the way, if you don't, you're going to know him by the time you leave here today, but he is your shepherd. And so what he does as a shepherd in your life, he knows what doors you need to go through, and he knows what doors you don't need to go through. Now, you also have an enemy who likes to lead you to doors and trying to push you through doors that you shouldn't go through. But if you have a relationship with the Father, you're going to know what doors you need to go through, and you're going to know what doors you don't need to go through. It's all about relationship. Something I want to clear up really quick is because you may see a friend of yours. Mark and I are friends. By the way, give our praise team a big hand clap this morning. Did an awesome job. Awesome job, Rach, and our praise team. But Mark and I are good friends, but sometimes Mark can go through a door that I can't go through because we're different. And God has his own life designed for him, what doors he needs to go through. God has his own design for my life, what doors I need to go through. Because, and the reason why I say that is because sometimes when I was preparing this, I was thinking about people that I looked at, and you know, we all grow up with role models and stuff like that. And you know, I grew up wanting to be a Major League Baseball player, you know, but I had to come to a reality one day that that's not a door that God wants me to go through. And I had to go another way, and it's okay. And so there's some. So what I'm saying here is just because your friend went that through a door doesn't mean you go through that same door. Because you have your own walk with the Lord. So a open door for Mark could be a closed door for me. Everybody got that? It's all based on relationship. So you can't sit around and whine and like, well, they got to go through that door. Well, that door ain't for you. That's not your door. God has a whole other door for you, and it's designed just for you. And it'll be a blessing to you. Because that's why closed doors are a blessing, because they weren't designed for you. But what I just read was out of John chapter 10, and Jesus said, I am, on seven occasions. I've actually done a series on this before. And each I am is a description Jesus gave of himself and is recorded in the Gospel of John. He said the seven I ams will help you better understand the divinity of Jesus. He said, I am the bread, I am the light, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and life, I am the way, the truth, and life, and I am the true vine. And in this one, he talks about being the shepherd, but he says, I am the door. And so that's so important for you to have that relationship with the Father through Jesus so that you know what doors to go through and what doors not to go through. Does everybody follow me? Everybody tracking? Okay. Now, I want you to think about this. I read this quote. I thought this was really good by Peter Larson said this. He said, despite our efforts to keep him out, God intrudes. The life of Jesus is bracketed by two impossibilities, a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. Jesus entered our world through a door marked no entrance, and he left through a door marked no exit. I thought that was really good. So here's, and the reason why I wanted to read that is because in Revelation, where it talks in verses 7 and 8, chapter 3, this is a scripture that went out today on the Harvest Time Club. And by the way, you can be a part of that by texting the word harvest to 68683 and then reply with a Y, and you'll be signed up to get a daily scripture at 7 a.m. I can be your wake-up call with scripture. But Revelation 3, verses 7 through 8 says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. And so that's the book of Revelation. And what he's saying here, open doors in life, they mean opportunity, progress, and promotion. We all like open doors, right? Love those open doors when God opens those doors. But what I'm wanting to tell you today is that closed doors are a different matter, but we need to understand that they are just as important as open doors in God leading us and directing us and guiding us, okay? And so here's the deal. Right here, next slide. Why does God close doors in our lives? What many of us don't recognize is that God uses closed doors as often as open doors to protect and guide us. Closed doors are a blessing. Look at somebody and say, closed doors are a blessing. All right, so we're going to get into this. Why does God close doors in our lives? And I'm going to give you, I'm not saying that I've got this all figured out, but this message is really about the ways of God and how God, as we're walking with God, how God works in our life. And I'm going to give you five things. They're there on your bulletin on the back there, and you're going to have to fill in the blanks here. But here's number one. Here's the first thing. Why does God close doors in our lives? Number one, closed doors signal change and point to new direction. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 2 through 9 talks about this. And this is where I told you to post and tweet this. Closed doors lead to open doors. Closed doors signal change and point to a new direction. And I told Dawn, this one's for you, by the way, because we prayed about this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 2 through 9 is the story of Elijah. And it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, said, 'Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there.'" So he's got crows feeding him. How about that? He's eating crow. Verse 5 said, not actually eating crow, they're actually bringing him T-bone steak, I guess. Verse 5 says, "So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. But sometime later," we don't know when, "but sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Who told him to go to that brook? God did, right? That was the open door that he had to go to. But then all of a sudden, that door closes. Then, because he has a relationship, not religion, he has a relationship with the Father, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Zidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food.'" And so again, the most important thing that happened here was that God had closed a door and opened another door for him. So closed doors always lead to open doors that God has for you. Dawn and I prayed over this morning, something going on in her life where God has closed a door. And I said, "Don't, you know," and she has a relationship with God. She knows the Lord. And she was saying, "I feel like this door's closed. And so I have applied." It was in a job situation. "So I've applied somewhere else and I'm wanting that door to open." So that's how we prayed this morning. And I just came into agreement with her because that's what God's speaking into her life. And God's going to open that door. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number two. Here's number two. Closed doors are an incentive to pray more. You know, when doors are open, we're just celebrating, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But that's when kind of our relation. I hate this. That's just human nature. We all do it. But our relationship kind of wanes off. Anybody like me? Okay. But when a door's closed, oh my gosh, here we are. Oh Lord, what's going on? You know, that's what we do. And so God knows that. And God, you know what God wants? He wants a relationship with you. So sometimes closed doors are an incentive to pray more. God just wants to have fellowship with you. God wants to have a relationship with you. And I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but I put it in your notes. And I'm going to mention it, but it's Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. And actually, when you go there in my Bible, it says Daniel's prayer. And what had happened was a door closed for the children of Israel, and they were actually going into exile in Babylonia. And Daniel was like, "What in the world is going on?" And so Daniel began to pray. And here's what happens also when you start praying, when the closed door's there. How many of you have a closed door and you start getting in this more? You start, you know, getting in the Word more. That's exactly what Daniel did. He began to get in the Word more, and he found out that the children of Israel hadn't been listening to the prophets, but he found out that the prophet Jeremiah had prophesied this, because you're stiff-necked and rebellious, and you won't listen to me, and even though I love you and I have the Father's best for you, you're going to go into exile. You're going to go into slavery for 70 years. And Daniel, when he was praying and got into the book of Jeremiah, he saw that. And he figured out what he needed to do. And he's figured out, I need to pray more. And in fact, when you read Daniel's prayer, you'll find out not only did he repent for himself, but he repented for his whole nation. And then things started turning around through one man's prayer. Look at somebody, say, one man's prayer. if we'll just pray. God even tells us that if we'll just humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, he'll heal our land. And we need that today more than ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So closed doors are an incentive to pray more. And I want to show you this scripture, though, in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. This is the Apostle Paul. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but I'm going to share with you what the Holy Spirit showed me through this. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4, Paul is in prison when he's writing this. This is a letter that he wrote to the church at Colossae, and it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. He's in prison. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Notice how much time prayer's in there? Talking about praying more. But Paul, get this, guys, this is so powerful. If we'll just grasp this, this is so powerful. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4, the Apostle Paul, he wrote that in prison. And his thoughts were about where he was at, that he needed to preach the gospel more. You know, he needed to be out of prison and preaching the gospel. Little did he know, most of his letters, by the way, were penned when he was in prison for preaching the gospel. And guess what Pastor Mark is reading from today, 2,000 years later? Little did Paul know how God was going to use those letters to minister to thousands of people and hundreds and millions of people. And God is still using them today. Isn't that powerful? So what he thought was a closed door was actually a ginormous door that was being opened for the gospel to go forth. Sometimes you got to, in that, I don't know, I guarantee you Paul didn't know what all was going on with his writings, those letters that he just thought he was writing to one church. And how many other churches is that blessed to this day? It's powerful what God can do. So that's about the closed doors teach us and are an incentive for all of us to pray for and pray more. And I have definitely been there. Okay, here's number three. And before I move on, I'm just going to share one little story in my life about praying more. Is there was a time in my life, and it was whenever we were at the church in Camargo, when we were there from 1998 to 2000. I was filling in the pulpit every other Sunday, but I felt like we were coming up against a closed door. And I talked to the church there, but I didn't know what there's a closed door, that my time there was over, but I didn't know what the next open door was. And I share this because this may be where you're at, and it's something that you may need to do. There is a subject in the Bible that we all don't like to hear about. It's called fasting, abstaining from food so that you can get closer to God. And during the times that you would eat, you pray and get in the Word. And so I'm not telling you to do this, by no means. This was something I felt like the Lord led me through an open door to do this. But through water and juice, I did a 40-day fast because I was desperate to hear God what the next door was. And it was during that 40-day fast that the door to Leedy opened up, where God revealed to Jade and I both that this is where we were to plant this church at. So I just share that because I feel like you may be up against a closed door and you just feel like ding, ding, ding. You know, have you ever done that with a closed door and you're like, okay, not like the lawyer that I read about in the beginning. I'm not supposed to go through this door. This isn't for me. So then you need to spend time in that praying more and getting closer to God. And you may need to mix a little fasting with it. And you need to talk to the Lord about that, okay? Pastor Martin isn't telling you to go on a 40-day fast. Don't leave here in a day and say, oh, I'm just going to go on a 40-day water fast. Don't do that. Not unless he tells you. And you better make sure an angel appears to you to tell you on a 40-day fast with water. That's what it's going to have to be for me because I like to eat too much. All right, here's chapter 3. But fasting is a part of our Christian walk. That is a part of it. And number 3 is the closed doors prevent trust in man. Trust in man. And there's two scriptures that tell us this. A lot of times we don't realize it, but we could be trusting our job. We could be trusting our employer. We could be trusting. There's so many things you could be trusting. There's other things that you could be trusting in there, not just man. So many different things. And our trust has to be in our Father God alone. And this is Psalms 20, verse 7, and then Psalms 118, verse 8. In Psalms 20, verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. You got to remember when this was written. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And then Psalms 118, verse 8 says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Has everybody found that to be true? Amen. All right. Here's number four. Number four, closed doors make you wait for God's timing. Oh my gosh, aren't you so glad that you came to church today? You know, you're waiting on God's timing. That may be what the closed door is. And I can't tell you, sometimes closed doors are, you know, in the Bible, I'm just thinking about, I think it was King David was 13 years, Joseph was 17 years, Moses was 40 years. You got to wait on God's timing. That's what you got to wait on. So closed doors make you wait for God's timing. I'm getting ahead of myself every time here. Can I go back to number three? Will y'all let me go back? Closed doors prevent trust in man. I want to tell you so what closed doors do, they compel you to stop trusting in man. It helps you see that God alone can open doors for you. And I want to share this story with you because it was what I shared earlier about Mark and I, you know, being friends, but an open door for him may be a closed door for me and vice versa. Was whenever I first got into the ministry and I knew that God was calling me, and I was the age of 23, and I'll never forget, Jade and I had been married for a year, and I can remember talking with her, and I was just weeping, and I said, honey, the Holy Spirit's all over me, all in me, and I feel like he's calling me into the ministry, and, you know, and to be a pastor. And she was looking at me like, so that means I'm a pastor's wife? You know, and we were both just scared spitless, didn't know come here from Sikkim. I mean, I just got out of college. We just got married, newly married, and I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on, God? And I just kept feeling this so strong. And I was like, God, I'm surrendered to you, and I'll do whatever you ask me to do, but I've never been to seminary. And so I didn't really spend a whole lot of time praying about it. I just immediately, you know, in our culture, in our world, that's what you do. You got to go to seminary. I'm like, well, my gosh, I just got out of college. I don't want to go to college all over again. I don't, you know, that was my thought process. And so I started looking at that particular time. We were going to a church in Elk City, an Assembly of God church. And so I started going through their Bible correspondence. And so I took the first year of it by correspondence because I just knew that's what you do. You got to go to seminary. If you're ever going to be a pastor, that's what you got to do. And I went through the first year, and through the first year, I finally decided to have a conversation with God about it, of what I'm supposed to be doing. I feel this call, and the Lord spoke to me and said, Mark, you're not going through seminary. You know, I don't want you going through this. And I'm like, well, this is where I'm at, and if I'm going to have an open door to have a church one day and to be a pastor, this is the door I need to go through. I'm having this conversation with God, and God was like, no, you don't. I am the door. And so God led me, and I'm not saying this that this is anybody else's door that they walk through, but the door I had to go through was God said, I want you to go now to your sectional, you know, you wouldn't have done this had you prayed a long time ago about this, but because you didn't talk to me back then, you're going to have to go to your sectional presbyter, which was in this, and that's the hierarchy in the Assemblies of God, and tell him that you're not going to go through with this, and you don't feel that you're going to be pastoring an Assembly of God church. I said, okay. I was scared. I was like, that's going to go over real well with this guy, you know. And so I went and talked to him. And this man just sat there. He was an older gentleman. He just sat there and looked at me and said, well, Mark, that's fine. I was like, man, that was easy, you know. And because I was really expecting him trying to talk me back in to staying. And I'll be honest with you, when I left there, I was like, well, God, that was easy. Well, God was like, because I was in it. You know, that's the reason why it was easy. But I left there, and I also got the enemy got up on my shoulder and saying, they don't like you here. That's why he said, that's fine. They don't think you can make it. That's what the enemy was saying. You're not called. The enemy's like, you're not called. Because he was like, that's fine. We don't, you know, the way he said it, that's fine. It's okay. You know, and so the enemy was up here on it saying, you're not called, blah, blah. And I was like, and I had that war going on within me. And I'm like, okay, God, if I'm called, then you're going to open a door, and I'm going to know it. And so I can honestly tell you today, I've been through a lot of stuff in my life. God called me to be a shepherd. And I know that with every fiber of my being. And no devil in hell and no person can talk me out of it. Because I went through that door and because I had a relationship with him. Now, there was a season that somebody could have talked me out of it because I was having that battle going on. But not now. And everybody said, amen. All right, so that was number three. Number four, closed doors. Let's get to number four again. Somehow I got froze up. There we are. Whoop. Going too fast. There we are. Closed doors make you wait for God's timing. And the best example that I can give you from Scripture is lots of great examples, but it was Genesis chapter 40. And I encourage you to go. I put the Scriptures down there so that you can read them later. But Joseph, he was sold into slavery from his family. His brothers rejected him. Then he was put into Potiphar's house in Egypt. And if you've read the story in the Bible, Potiphar's wife accused him of raping her, and it all went south. So Potiphar threw him in prison. So here's Joseph in prison, and he's serving in prison. He climbs up the hierarchy in prison, and he's serving the prison guard there. And then one day, Pharaoh threw his butler and his baker into the prison. And they had a dream, and their dreams were interpreted by Joseph, because God gave him that interpretation. And whenever the cupbearer, the butler, was restored back to his place in the palace with Pharaoh, this is what happened. Joseph said, "Hey, remember me when you get up there, and get me out of this place." And the Bible says, and it's there in your notes, you can go home and read it. The Bible says that whenever the cupbearer or the baker, the baker got his head chopped off, by the way, if you're going to have to read that later. But the butler got up there and got back to his place and got his nice robe back on, and the Bible says he totally forgot about Joseph. And he forgot him for 2 years. Not 2 weeks, 2 years. So here's Joseph down in prison going, "Well, that's sorry. he forgot about me." And here's the deal I want to tell you. That door closed because Joseph was trying to make a way for himself. How many of you have ever done that? Am I the only one that's ever done that? Trying to make a way for yourself? And God said, uh-uh. Not because he didn't love Joseph, because he loved Joseph. He just said, "It's not my timing. My timing is, there's other things I'm trying to get ready." And then one day it says the Pharaoh had a dream. And he dreamed about 7 years of plenty and 7 years of want and all that. You know, you all know this, most of you know this story. And if you don't, go read Genesis 40 and 41. And that day, God brought to the remembrance of the baker, Joseph. And he told Pharaoh, he said, "Pharaoh, I remember my faults this day. When you put me in prison 2 years ago, there's a Hebrew down there that knows how to interpret dreams through his God." And Pharaoh said, "Call for him, bring him here." And in one day, Joseph went from the prison to the palace, and it was actually Pharaoh put him second in command only to himself in one day. That's what happens when you wait on God's timing. Powerful things can happen in one day, things that you've been waiting, trying to make happen for a lifetime, God can do in one moment of time when you're just obedient to his timing. Look at somebody and say, "You need to be obedient to his timing." So closed doors, what they actually do, they teach us to wait for God's time. Because I want you to ever think about this. Have you ever thought what would have happened if Joseph got his release 2 years earlier, when he wanted it? He would have got his freedom only to become somebody's slave again in the palace. That's what would have happened. He wouldn't have been promoted to second in command. Okay, that's something else. Here's number five, our last one. Is everybody learning something today? Everybody getting something out of this? Okay, number five, closed doors prepare you for the task ahead. And so the more tough your closed door is, the greater the exaltation, the promotion that God has planned for you. And talking about Joseph, here it is. Psalms 105, verses 17 through 22. I told you to turn there to Psalms 105. It says, and he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons till what he foretold came to pass. And what he foretold was that I, you know, that he was going to be this person in a leadership position that was going to minister to his family. And that happened till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler of all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom. That's what God did whenever he prepared him in that 17 years of preparation to that point for one day. So the dream of greatness was God's promise to Joseph, and he prepared him behind closed doors to give him the promotion that was promised earlier. So closed doors guard God's preparation ground to make you ready for the greatness that he has kept in store for you. Look at somebody, say, closed doors are a blessing. Amen. Did everybody get something out of this today? Did this really help somebody? Good. Because this is what I felt the Lord lead me to minister on today about. I know we've been in the year of the open door, but I'm actually, you know, talking about closed doors today. But closed doors are as much as how God leads us as open doors. And how do you know what door to go through and what door not to go through is all based on a relationship with the Father. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I'm going to have two closings, and then I'm going to have Mark come up here and dismiss us. But the first thing that I want to do, and I always do this every Sunday, is to make sure that everybody here and those that are watching by Church's Aid and those that are listening, going to be listening to this on the radio, that make sure that you know the Lord as your Savior. And this is what I call the prayer of salvation. And in Revelation 3:20, Jesus said this. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. That's Revelation 3:20. And so Jesus is knocking at your door this morning. And all he wants to do, it's not about signing a church membership role. It's not about religion. He wants to have a relationship with you. And that's that. He wants to fellowship with you. And I want the honor and the privilege of leading you in a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And even if you do know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Okay, with every head bowed and every eye closed, there's nothing, you know, spiritual about that. I just want you to focus on your relationship with the Lord and where you're at and how this message spoke to you. And I want you to ask yourself that question. What is the Holy Spirit saying to me through this message today about closed doors are a blessing? And I just want to, I'm going to speak some things over you while your eyes are closed and your head's bowed there that you need to hear. I really believe that you need to hear these things. Because you may be here today and you're up against a closed door. And I've been there where you're up against a closed door and the enemy's sitting on your shoulder and telling you lies. And, I mean, his strategies and schemes have not changed. They're always the same. He's a liar and he's the father of lies. But God wants you to hear these words over today, that he loves you, that closed door is a blessing in your life. And because of his love for you, he has closed doors to prevent you from going where he doesn't want you to go. And every closed door means there is an open door somewhere else. And so that's what the Lord is speaking over you today. And I really feel that there's somebody here today, or there may be somebody that listens to this later, but I'm really feeling this strong impression this morning that there's somebody here that just, and it could be on a job, it could have been even in a marriage, you know, a work relationship. I don't want to try to add my own stuff to it. But what I'm hearing the Lord speak is that you've been in a relationship where God has closed the door, and you've been trying to go back through that door, and it hasn't opened, and God is saying, I don't want you to go through that door because I have something better for you. It's actually a better relationship, and you don't see it right now. It hasn't opened yet, and the reason why that new door hasn't opened for you, this new door of relationship, is because God wants you to see that that old door is closed, because you're still trying to see it as open, and God's saying, no, that's not my door for you. That door is not where I want you to go. I have a whole new door for you. And I just want to release that word over you today. Just trust the Father. But you're going to have to see that, to come into, to see that open door for you, whatever this relationship is, you're going to have to release the old door. Release it. Let it go. Quit trying to find the key for it. Quit trying to knock on it. Quit doing all those things. Quit trying to bust it down. Just let it go, because there's a new door that God has for you. And so, Father, I thank you for that word today in Jesus' name. And so I pray this over all of us today. Lord, close doors that no man can open, and open doors that no man can close, until that we are standing in your perfect will for our lives. And God, we declare this over each of us today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Mark, come on up here. Mark's going to come and close this out. God bless you. Did everybody get something today? Okay, look at somebody, say, closed doors are a blessing. Amen.
Amen. There we go. Everybody stand up with me right quick. It was a good word. Give the Lord a hand clap. That was awesome. I wrote down a couple things. My goodness. Who's made their own mess before? I was sitting there and I go, Lord, here's what the Lord just spoke to me, and I'm going to see if it speaks to you, because I think this will speak to somebody here. During when Pastor Mark was preaching that, did anybody here besides me go, I know, but God, how do I clean up that mess I'm in? Did you hear that, anybody besides me? Because I did. I go, I've made a pretty big mess with the doors in my life, the open ones and the closed ones, and it doesn't seem like it's that easy. God would tell you that it is that easy today. Amen. That's what he's telling me today, to speak over myself. So if that spoke to you, I hope it did. Because for me, it's enough. Amen. And it's about seeking God in prayer. I'm so thankful that Pastor Mark is he speaking to you today? He's been speaking to me every week. I mean, I guess I'm due, because I know the Holy Spirit's capable of speaking to all of us. But I see a picture too right there of you holding on to a door to the point that it's almost got somebody. It's almost got your fingers caught in it. Amen. I mean, I did. I was going, man. That's got to be it, God. And I've been trying to just hold on to that for a long, long time. Almost to the point that I just need to just slip them out and let it go. Just release that to God. Amen. Because I felt myself, this pain, if you will, of saying, God, but that's got to be it. Look how good that time, that period was for me. And God works in seasons. Amen. And it's time to let that door shut for myself. And hopefully that's speaking to you as well. Because I'm really good at just grabbing hold with both hands and saying, but I know that felt good. That was a good part of my life. Just let me stay there, God, because I'm comfortable. And I'm sure Joseph wanted out of prison too, even to go back to a slave house, you know, before he found his destiny. And I'm praying for myself in that right now as new doors are opening in my life. Amen. Perfect timing for me. So it's good. God's surprises are better than anything. I know Christine had one. It was expected, but yet it was awesome, wasn't it? Yeah, awesome surprise. So we got to trust, and we got to seek God, get in the Word. So I'm thankful for that message today, Pastor Mark. Great job. Okay, let's pray. I'm gonna speak a blessing over us, first of all. It's in Numbers chapter 6. We speak it over you every week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. How many times when we just let go, do we find peace? I've had to do that, guys. My peace sometimes came at the very bottom because I just quit trying something, amen? And that's what that just spoke to me, that gosh, I love God's peace, and I've learned that it's more valuable than anything I hold on to. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord. I thank you so much, Father, for your peace. But I thank you, God, that you're a loving Father that cares about us enough, God, to clean up our mess. In Jesus' name, God, I'm thankful for the open doors coming. I'm so excited because it's going to be good, Father. I pray that over your people today, that we just need to trust you more because, gosh, it's our turn to trust you. You've already finished.